We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vitura's Talks with Maitreya. Text number 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha,
Sri Shuka Uvacha,
Dwari Dunadya Rishabha Karunam. Dwari dunadya rishabha kurunam. Maitreya masina magadha bodham. Kshato basritya chuda bhava siddhi. Prabhacha saushilya guna bhidriptaha. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Dwari, at the source of Dyu Nadyaha, the celestial river Ganges, Rishabha, the best of the Kurus, Kurunam, of the Kurus, Maitreyam, unto Maitreya, Asinam, sitting, Agadha Bodham, of unfathomed knowledge. Kshatta, Vidura, Ubasritya, having approached nearer. Achyuta, the infallible Lord. Bhava, character. Siddha, perfect. Prabhacha, inquired. Saushilya, gentleness. Guna abhitriptaha, satisfied in transcendental qualities. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River, Haridwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vidura was already perfect due to his unalloyed devotion to the infallible Lord. The Lord and the living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature, but the Lord is quantitatively much greater than any individual living entity. He is ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the illusory energy. Vidura had already surpassed the fallible nature of the living entity in conditional life, due to his being Achyuta Bhava, or legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called Achyuta Bhava Siddha, or perfection by dint of devotional service. Anyone, therefore, who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. The learned sage Maitreya was sitting in a solitary place on the bank of the Ganges in Haridwar, and Vidura, who was a perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all good transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry. Translation again. Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River, Haridwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Om jnana timirandasya jnananchana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Patakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే భూతైర్మహాద్భిర్యమా పురో విభు నిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. So we are starting the new chapter in this third canto. So we are now in the fifth chapter, the beginning verse. And again, here Vidura is approaching the sage Maitreya on the bank of Ganges. So Vidura had the great good fortune to be associated with Uddhava, as it was mentioned in the previous chapter. And now, as instructed by Uddhava, Vidura is approaching the sage Maitreya. Here, in this purport, is very, very wonderful. Even though this purport is just a single paragraph having few lines, this purport very clearly narrates the secret behind success of a devotee, the secret behind advancement for a devotee. So very important word or phrase is used in this purport, that is Achyuta Bhava, and Vidura is addressed as Achyuta Bhava Siddha. And what is this Achyuta Bhava? Legitimately absorbed in the devotional service. So this is the secret to success. And as we can see, Vidura is demonstrating this Achyuta Bhava to the fullest degree. So he is Achyuta Bhava Siddha. He is perfect in his Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, Gangeshwar Prabhu gave a very wonderful class on the qualities of Vidura, how he performed devotional service. It was a very touching class. Very, very beautiful. It was really heart-touching. So, in the last verse, it was mentioned in the previous chapter that when the Lord was about to depart from the material realm, he thought about Vidura. Think about this. It is a very great thing. Srila Prabhupada remembered a few devotees when he was about to depart from this world. Can you think about this? Such a pure devotee thinking about his servants at the time of his departure. Srila Prabhupada remembered George Harrison. He thanked George Harrison before his departure, even on his deathbed. It is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada even gave a ring, one of his personal ring, to Jagatarini Mataji towards his final days. He actually gave this ring and asked someone, give this ring to this Mataji, like that. So it is a great thing that such a pure devotee remembers his servants. So must be very good fortune to be in that memory. And think about the Supreme Lord himself. He remembered Vidura before departing from this world. And when Vidura knew about this, when he heard about this from Uddhava, he went into tears and he started crying, thinking how the Lord reciprocated from to him at the final stage just by remembering. Because it is the perfection of a life, perfection of a devotee's life to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram. Now the Lord himself is remembering his devotee at the time of his departure. So Vidura became overwhelmed in separation from the Lord and seeing the reciprocation of the Lord unto him. Now after this happened, he had to proceed to sage Maitreya. So in yesterday class, it was mentioned that everyone must develop the legitimate quality and qualification to cry for Krishna. So that actually made me to think a few instances about crying for Krishna. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he told that if you want Krishna, he has one instruction for the devotees. He said that can be described just by one word. If you really want Krishna consciousness, what to do, that can be described just by one word. And he said that word is crying. Crying for Krishna. So that is the qualification to attain Krishna. In fact, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, when he established a temple in Orissa, in Bhuvaneshwar. Yes, when he established the temple in Bhuvaneshwar, Gaur Govinda Maharaj told that this is actually a crying school. Here we are going to teach how to cry for Krishna. So we can see Vidura had already achieved and he cried for Krishna. Srila Madhvacharya made a very profound statement in this regard. He told that you have, meaning the conditioned souls, have cried for material things for so many lifetimes. And if you gather all those tears, it would form an ocean. So many millions of lifetimes we have passed through, and in these millions of lifetimes we have cried for so many material things. So he says, in this lifetime, cry once for Krishna. Shed at least some tears for Krishna. That will be the success of this lifetime. So this is the importance of crying for Krishna. And one has to legitimately come to that platform, as it is mentioned in this purport, Achyuta Bhava Siddha. So Vidura had already achieved. And he was in an infallible position. So we have to see the position of Vidura. We know the pastime where he served Krishna just with banana peel, right? He, instead of giving banana, he gave banana peel out of ecstasy, because of his absorption, he didn't actually think what is right and what is wrong. So he actually gave just the banana peel, and Krishna happily accepted that because of bhakti. We can see, you know, Patram pushmam phalam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachati. There is no mention of peel of a banana. Phalam is there, the fruit is mentioned, but there is no banana peel. But because of bhakti, the Lord accepted. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, a very nice verse. Murkho vadati vishnaya dhiro vadati vishnave upayostu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. One who is a murkha, one who is a foolish person who doesn't know any Sanskrit grammar, he may say Vishnaya. You know, just like, you know, Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the same way, one who is uneducated may say Namo Vishnaya, which is wrong. But one who is educated, he may say Vishnave, Vishnave Namaha, which is right. But Ubhayostu Samam, both will get the same punya, same devotional credit. Why? Because bhavagrahi janardana. Because the Lord understands the bhava, the intention and the mindset behind the devotee. So the Lord is ready to accept and the Lord is ready to reciprocate. So this is the quality of the Supreme Lord. So Vidura's offering, the Lord accepted completely, because the Lord actually discarded the offering of Duryodhan, because Duryodhan gave everything. He had his palatial house. He thought, you know, Krishna likes, you know, dancing, so he arranged beautiful girls, and he cooked practically unlimited number of preparations to offer to Krishna. He had everything materially ready for Krishna, but Krishna didn't go. Why? Because he understood bhava. He understood there is no love. So why should I go to Duryodhan? Why should I waste my time? Rather, I go to my devotee. And he disregarded everything from Duryodhan, and he went to Vidura and accepted the banana peel. So this is the Supreme Lord. So how the Lord reciprocates, just according to the bhakti. Ye yathamam pravadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. So according to our surrender, the Lord reciprocates. So this is the way the Lord acts. And we can see in this purport that Vidura is in such a high platform that he is infallible. We know the Lord is infallible. Similarly, Vidura had already achieved the platform of Achyuta. He is infallible. So he, because of devotional service. And what is the secret ingredient of this infallible nature of Vidura? As Rupa Goswami says, Ihayasi Harer Dase Karmana Manasagira Nikhilastavapi Avastasu Jivan Mukta Sa Uchyate. So Vidura is Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means he is alive, but he is liberated at the same time. And what is the requirement for that? Ihayasi Harer Dase Karmana, Manasa, Gira. Three aspects, three features that we have must be engaged in Krishna service. One is our body, mind and words completely. If one does so, then he is Jivan Mukta. So Vidura is already Jivan Mukta. He has nothing to achieve in that sense spiritually, in terms of getting out from the material clutches. He is already out from the material clutches. Mamchiyo vibhicharena bhaktiyokena sevate sagunan samite tetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Because of the dint of devotional service, he is already in the Brahman platform. Meaning he is beyond the three modes of material nature. So Vidura had already achieved this. And so, for him, in one sense, approaching Maitreya is inconsequential. Because he had achieved everything in devotional service and he is just continuing his devotional service. Still, he approaches the great sage Maitreya, who is fathomlessly learned in transcendence. He is already completely fixed in devotional service, and Vidura approaches Maitreya. And again, coming back to the same point, that is Achyuta Bhava, that legitimately engaged or absorbed in devotional service. This is the secret of our success. And Krishna demands that in Bhagavad Gita. There are few verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, I need your mind. It's not enough that you give your body to me, but I need your mind. Even 7th chapter, the first verse, Mayasakta mana partha yogan yunjant asamshaya asamshayam samagram mam yatha gyasi tatshrinu. My asakta mana partha. What is Krishna saying? This verse, Srila Prabhupada had given lectures, the most number of lectures Srila Prabhupada has given in this verse, 7.1. Tatshrinu, hear from me. So here the first phrase that Krishna says is, you think about me. Even other verses, man mana bhavamad bhakto. And mayeva mana adhaswa. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Nivasasashyasi mayeva ada udham nasamshaya. 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Few verses where Krishna very clearly says that we have to engage our mind in Krishna service. Krishna demands that in Bhagavad Gita. So it's not just enough to be physically engaged in Krishna service. Rather, one has to give one's mind for Krishna. So here, there is a very beautiful verse again in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma prays to the creative energy, to the Supreme Lord, in which he says that, Tom Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. he says. The bhakti should be such that it has to be paribhavita. It has the same meaning as we discussed here, achyuta bhava siddhi. That is the complete absorption in Krishna. That is paribhavita. Srila Prabhupada there translates paribhavita as 100% engaged in devotional service. So this is the requirement. So there, in terms of Brahma, since he was 100% engaged in Krishna service, tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita saroja ase shrute kshana patha nanu natha pumsam. And how one can be completely engaged in Krishna service, even with the mind, by hearing about Krishna, or in other words, by seeing Krishna through the process of oral reception. Ase shrute kshana patha nanu natha pumsam. Then what happened? Then Lord Brahma says, if one does engage in devotional service in that way, then the Supreme Lord descends and he sits in the heart of a devotee whose heart is completely purified. So this is the perfection of devotional service. And the Lord is even ready to appear, not just in the mind, he is ready to appear right in front of the devotee physically. That was the experience of Lord Brahma. Because Brahma could get the darshan of the Supreme Lord. He saw the Lord in the four-handed form. And in other case, the Lord Brahma, he saw Krishna in the Gopal form. So this is the good fortune of Lord Brahma being engaged in devotional service to the complete degree, paribhavita. So this is the demand. So even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if one has to be completely engaged in devotional service, then he says, body and mind are engaged in Krishna service, and also the tongue is chanting Krishna's names. Then he says, that is the perfection. That is paribhavita. That is the perfection. So this is the perfection of devotional service, which we are meant to perform here, being in the material world. So Vidura is already in that condition. Now, even though we can see this, we can hear this, we know that we are very, very far away from this. Even though Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Mayeva mana adhatsva, may buddhin niveshaya. He says, completely absorb your mind in me. Absorb your intelligence in me. Even though Krishna says that, we know that we can't do that straight away. And Krishna also knows that we can't do that straight away. That's the reason Krishna reduces his standard in the next verse. He says, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena mam ichchapsum dhananjaya. If you cannot absorb your mind completely in me, then you do at least one thing. You perform devotional service in the regulated fashion. Abhyasa yogena. That is bhakti yoga. Practice bhakti yoga as a practice. That is our vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and in general sadhana bhakti. Our regulated devotional service is following Krishna in the 12th chapter. So where we are engaging, yes, we are engaging our mind in Krishna service, but according to the rules and regulations. So this is essential. So if you think about us and advanced devotees, what's the difference? Us in the sense, those who are not advanced, like me. What's the difference? The difference is that they have absorption and we lack absorption. Our mind is just like we say the conditioned souls are tatastha. Tata means the bank, where we can be in the water or we can be outside the water. So this is our condition. Our mind sometimes goes to Krishna and devotional service, and many times it is out. It is in the material consciousness. So we are actually taking a dip, little bit in Krishna consciousness, little bit in Krishna consciousness, and then coming out. So this is the difference between us and advanced devotees. So the advanced devotees, their mind is always absorbed in Krishna. So we need to practice sadhana bhakti. Here, even materially speaking, they have this term called, you know, people use the term zone, flow. You have to be in a flow. Whatever you do, many people doing things in a flow. So one, you know, one boy who was studying psychology, he was using this term. He was telling, if you are doing kirtan, you get a lot of people, those doing the kirtan in a flow. Everyone is in a flow. Means the mind is absorbed. So this is what we are meant to achieve in our devotional service. So we can take the example, say, when we are chanting. When we do chanting, sometimes the initial rounds or anytime it can happen, we are quite aware of the surroundings. We are always seeing things, you know. We are completely aware of, you know, who is sitting next to me, you know, who is chanting with what volume. You know, we hear everything. This is the problem sometimes when devotees are chanting. You know, that devotee is chanting loudly. This devotee is chanting in this way. That devotee is looking there. This devotee is, you know, walking around the tulsi too fast. So while chanting, the mind gets absorbed in externally in so many different things. But when we actually listen to our chanting and when we just keep going, we can at least, one must experience at least one point of time that the mind is absorbed in chanting and I don't care about what is going around me. It should happen to us. Sometimes it happens, right? We don't care about anything else. You know, it doesn't matter who is sitting next to me, who is chanting. We stop listening to others chanting and how anyone else is mispronouncing or skipping words or sleeping. Right? We forget that. Okay, now I'm just absorbed in my chanting. So this is the time actually chanting is starting. That's the time the absorption is beginning to happen. Right? So this is very important. It is applicable. We'll explain further. It's applicable to all different aspects of bhakti. In fact, bhakti in itself is classified into three. We need to understand. In fact, this was discussed in one of the retreats by Bhurijan Prabhu. First kind of bhakti is called Aropa Siddha Bhakti. Aropa Siddha Bhakti means it is based on projecting. Aropa, projecting. One's conditioning to bhakti. Say for example, I need the most expensive car, or say, you know, OD for example. Say a luxury car. Okay, I need an OD car. I need it anyway. I want to buy it. So I will buy it anyway. I am a devotee, so I will buy it. So then find a reason. Since I am buying this car, definitely I will take some devotees to the temple. I will use it in Krishna service. So driving that car or purchasing that car or being absorbed in buying, doing the whole research, which is the best car, what are its features, it's not actually bhakti. But when it is used in Krishna service, then it becomes bhakti. Other example, you know, I need a, you know, 4 or 5 bedroom house in the most expensive suburb in Melbourne. One can have that desire. So one may earn money, one may do research and, you know, go for the whole hardship and get the house. That is not bhakti. But when that is used, okay, I am a devotee, I have this house, so I should start a bhakti vriksha. Or I should have a program at my home. I have to invite all the devotees and feed prasadam. Then what happens? That becomes bhakti. That aspect becomes bhakti. That is called Aropa Siddha Bhakti. So the activity is due to our karmi tendency. According to our karma kanda, the mix of karma is there. That's the reason we do such an activity. Or I need the latest mobile phone. I need, you know, iPhone 6 Plus. Okay. So there is nothing to do with bhakti. But okay, I have this phone, so I will use for reading the Veda base or, you know, making a phone call to, you know, to tell I will do some service. Okay, then that becomes bhakti. So that is Aropa Siddha Bhakti. That is based on our karmi tendencies. Then there is another bhakti which is called Sangha Siddha Bhakti. So Sangha Siddha Bhakti is one has different tendencies which are not so much karma related, but it's more jnana related. So I want to be a celibate. I want to be clean. I want to perform austerities. I want to be equal to both distress and happiness. I want to be I want equanimity to both, you know, cold and hot. So these kind of things, these tendencies are not bhakti in itself, right? It's not bhakti in itself. There are so many Mayavadi sannyasis, they are celibate whole life. They are good examples of celibacy. But it's not bhakti. But when it is Sangha, when it gets the Sangha or Bhakti, then it actually enhances Bhakti. Celibacy enhances Bhakti. Austerity enhances Bhakti. Cleanliness enhances Bhakti. So in that way, it is useful, it is helpful to perform Bhakti. But that in itself is not Bhakti. So that is called the Sangha Siddha Bhakti. And all these two kinds of Bhaktis are dependent on the third kind of Bhakti. The third classification of Bhakti. And that is called Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. So Swarupa Siddha Bhakti is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Saranam, Archanam, Mandanam, Pada Sevanam, Sakhyam, Dasyam, Atma Nivedanam. The whole Angas of the nine Angas of Bhakti. They are called Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. So one must perform Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. There is no other way. We can't avoid them. So all other aspects of Bhaktis are dependent completely on Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. Because that is, you know, that is the internal potency, the Swarupa Shakti of the Supreme Lord. So that in itself is Bhakti. Somebody is hearing about Krishna, that is Bhakti. One is chanting, that is Bhakti. There is no question of Aropa or there is no question of Sangha. That in itself is Bhakti. So our main diet in Krishna consciousness is Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. That's why we are chanting, we are hearing. Because without that, there is no question of being a devotee. And primarily, we need to develop absorption in this kind of Bhakti process. So that's why chanting, I took the example of chanting. Because it is so important to develop absorption in chanting. So we know how the mind is functioning, you know, it goes here, there, and at least some point we must get this absorption. That is the reason it is mentioned that it is better to chant all the rounds together in one go. Otherwise, big chunks of rounds. Not like, you know, I chant here one round, two rounds, three rounds, and then again one round. If you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra like that, it is very, very difficult to get absorption. It's practically impossible. Somehow or other, finish one round and through the beats, okay. Then after some time, again. So the mind is not getting enough time to absorb in Krishna. So we have to regulate our lifestyle such that we have this time. Okay, we can chant all 16 rounds in one go, or otherwise, you know, majority of the rounds in one go and the rest later. So this is what is required for us to advance in devotional service. Similarly, this absorption is demanded in other aspects of bhakti also. For example, if you are attending Mangalarati, we need to be absorbed. While doing Mangalarati, we need to be absorbed. Hearing Bhagavatam, while speaking Bhagavatam. Now, marathon is coming. Distribution of books, it's a good example where we can actually experience absorption. We have a stage when we start distributing books. Initially, the mind is telling different things and, you know, just slowly the book starts going. But there is a time when you don't really think about anything. Just you are just focused in the service. And you are so absorbed that you don't really know if the time is passing. You don't know anything. We are just trying to store people. You are just distributing books. And that time we see that actually books goes. That is the time actually books start actually moving. Things start moving. When we are really absorbed, then books actually started moving. So we can really see how it happens. So this is what is required. We need to get absorbed. In fact, Vijay Prabhu was mentioning, you know, he mentions about different verses in Bhagavad Gita and, you know, Bhagavatam. One can remember that one sees not just the material energy around, but one sees Krishna and Krishna servants who have forgotten Krishna. And in that way, one can actually distribute books. It's a very good meditation to have, to think about, okay, one is actually connected to Krishna and I am just trying to, acting as an instrument to help them to re-establish that connection. So when we are absorbed in this kind of thoughts while distributing books, it's much easier. We don't get into the mental platform. You know, while doing books, you know, one can easily get into mental platform. Just being mental, you know, what's happening, you know, he's a good person, he's not the right person, why am I here, why is he not stopping? You know, mind goes up and down, so many things. But when we are absorbed, the mind actually shuts and just focused on Krishna. Then actually we can see the result as well. So this is the absorption. And also, if you see, it's a very interesting thing. If you walk on, you know, Sanskrit street or, you know, anywhere in the city, we can easily get distracted. It's very easy to get distracted. It's not at all difficult. But when we are distributing books, we don't get distracted so much. Even though we are approaching Maya straight away, but we can see the right protection of Krishna because there is absorption. Same with catering. If you go for a catering, it is just the abode of Maya. It is just heavy. It's intense. Without service, I am sure no devotees can survive with a proper consciousness, even for 1 hour, even for half an hour. It's impossible. Such an intense consciousness, you know, intense. In terms of the music, it is just too loud. And, it is demoniac. And if you, what you are seeing around, if you see the man and woman there, it is terrible. It is too difficult. But only because of intense service, one is so absorbed in the service, then it is fine. In fact, yesterday I was speaking to a devotee who was working in mines. So he was mentioning that how they were able to survive in the mine. So he was taking the example of other karmis who are working there. He said, it is so dangerous that it is so common that one loses one's finger, hand, any part of the body. It is so common. So it's so intense and so hardworking, this mining work. And he was working that for quite a bit some time. So he was telling the people who are working there, they actually shut off their mind. They don't think about anything. They are just absorbed in the hard work. And they have 10 hours and 12 hour days. This is how they are working in mines. That's why they get a lot of money. But so dangerous, and you know, so much of hours they had to put for, so much of hard work. He said he can't do that anymore at this point of time. He did for some time, but he said he can't. So much of hard work. He was comparing, it is just like a, you know, 4 days catering in 1 day. He was giving the example because he was doing catering before with us. So he was mentioning 4 days of catering in 1 day. So much demanding it is. So I was thinking, even for the karmis, they are ready to absorb so much. So what about us? We should be ready to absorb our mind in Krishna consciousness. And there is one thing. If you want to really absorb in any devotional service, we have to be proficient in terms of what we are doing. For example, do you remember first time singing for Krishna? First time leading a kirtan? First time doing arati for Krishna? Or first time cooking? Or anything for the first time? The mind is, you know, it is quite caught up in the externals. If you are doing the arati, we are thinking, you know, what kind of circle we are making, you know, is it correct, you know, is he doing the right thing? Is it the whole, is it, what's going on? The mind is quite absorbed in so many different things, in the externals. Same, if you're first time speaking, first time giving a Bhagavatam class, you know, mind is in all over, you know, what's really going on? Am I speaking the right thing? What's going on here? You know, what's the next point? Will I forget this? You know, so many things, you know, come to the mind. There is no absorption. So this is, we are lacking proficiency in the service we are doing. So it is very important that we get sufficient, you know, sufficient skills in whatever service we are doing. Because to absorb the mind in the service and in Krishna, and to remember Krishna, we need that proficiency. And after some time, if we are doing arati, we don't really care about, you know, the hand is naturally, the bell is ringing. We don't worry about whether it is billing, you know, bell is ringing in the right way or right tone. Nothing, it just goes on. But we are absorbed. The mind is then completely absorbed. Then we can focus the mind in the Lord. We can pray to the Lord. We can offer the arati to the Supreme Lord. So it becomes, the whole service becomes a meditation. It's like, you know, I had the experience of worshipping Saligrams. First time, you know, oh, it was like, you know, so many things. Madhura Manohar Prabhu was training me, you know, it was like, you know, so many things, you know, do fast, you know, after this, the next. It is like, you know, unlimited things, you know, oh, what, how am I going to finish this? So this is, the meditation is something else. But when we get proficient, when we know the service properly, how to do and what is it, then actually the mind can be used in serving Krishna. So then it is no more just the external body, but the mind also is involved. So that gives us the absorption. So absorption is the key element in advancement in devotional service. So there is a, this absorption is not just, you know, unrewarding. Rather, when we are absorbed in the service, there is reciprocation of the Lord. That is through Paramdrishto. We get a higher taste. When we are absorbed in any service, It's just a matter of time we get a higher taste. That is the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. And Vidura, as it is mentioned here, anyone therefore who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. See, this is a very important point. So when one is actually completely absorbed in devotional service, then he develops Vaishnava qualities. So this is demonstrated by Vidura, because Vidura, he's Dharmaraj, and he came to the material world as a reason we can see, immediate reason we can see, it is a curse by the Munduka Muni. But at the same time, he used that opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness. And we know he preached to Dhritarashtra and he gave liberation to Dhritarashtra. And we can see the next verse, which is again very important, because in this purport it is very clearly mentioned that Vidura was already liberated. But see the question that is asked by Vidura in the next verse. Vidura said, "O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satisfaction nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please therefore give us directions on how one should live for real happiness." And that purport Srila Prabhupada says that this question is not for Vidura. Vidura is already perfect. So this question is meant for all of us. For he knows that the answer to this question is going to be useful for millions and millions of people in the coming generations. It's part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see Vidura had already achieved the high stage of compassion for the living entity. So we can see the questions posed by Vidura is meant for the conditioned beings of this world. So that is the result of having Achyuta Bhava, absorption in devotional service. Paribhavita, 100% engagement in devotional service. One develops Vaishnava qualities. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, ma'am. For us, for our sadhak bhaktas, yes, it's a very good point. We shouldn't imitate crying because it is just out of sentiments. And we can see many people, out of sentiments crying. Because when one is crying out of sentiments, the reason is something else. They may be thinking about something else while crying. They may be in a difficult circumstance, so they are just crying out of it because of the difficulty. However, in yesterday's class, a few points were mentioned. What are the right reasons for crying, but on a higher level? One is because of happiness, seeing Krishna, one may cry. Separation from Krishna, one may cry. Helplessness, one may cry. It can be, these all can be imperfection, but when it comes to sadhaka bhaktas, our crying is not necessarily external. That is the first point I can say. We don't need to show that an external crying. Rather, we can cry for Krishna internally. We have our difficulties. We have our helpless conditions. We want to make progress in Krishna consciousness. We want to do certain services. But we know very clearly that we don't have the qualification for that. It's very evident. We don't have a qualification. And at the same time, if we feel helpless and we sincerely cry for Krishna internally, that is very much helpful for our progress, because we acknowledge our difficult condition and we see where we want to be and we see a big gap between these two. So to fill that gap, we can cry for Krishna internally. So it is much safer to cry to Krishna internally, means through intense prayers. We can cry for Krishna. We need your help. So that is crying. We don't need to be really externally crying, you know, shedding tears. That's not necessary. So real shedding of tears, real crying for Krishna comes on a later stage of our devotional life. So we may have to wait for that. And it is spontaneous and it's quite natural. But as a practice, we can definitely cry internally for Krishna. Is that helps? Anything else? Yes, bro.
Just emphasize on the word Haridwar. It's actually Haridwar, which means the door of the Lord, Hari. It's not written here.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's English. Thank you very much. Grandhraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.